one other thing that Natasha and I both love, which is the show Love on the Spectrum. If you
So
haven't seen Love on the
wonderful.
Spectrum, it's a fantastic show. It follows people looking for love who are on the autistic spectrum. We love this show because there are communication experts who train the people looking for love on how to interact. And honestly, all of us could use this. I could have used this.
I'm telling you, right? And
I could
like,
have used
and if
this
you
advice.
have like, if you have tweenagers or teenagers, it's such a great show because it really does model like excellent communication and being like, you know, really great listening skills. And like, it's just, it's fantastic. Honestly, I think it's fantastic. It's like really
Being true to
instructive.
yourself, right? What are you really
Being
looking
true to
for?
yourself. Yeah. Being really like honest about what you want, what you don't want, you know? And it's
Yeah.
like, so honestly, I think it's such a great thing for, I think my kids have absolutely, especially my 10-year-old has been
Yeah.
like, oh, you know, of course, then when there's kissing, he's like, oh, you know, he doesn't
Well,
want to see kissing.
so there was one episode where the communication expert said, so what is the point of a first date? And I don't know if someone made a joke or something like the second date or something. But the communication expert was like, no, the point is to find things you have in common. Natasha and I are going to talk about some of the things we have in common with each other and with our friends on this episode of Harness the Power of Planning, coming up next, talking about maintaining your friendships as a mom. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome. Welcome to our Thursday chat with myself, Natasha, and Allegra. And we together are Beyond Your Wildest Dreams, or BYWD, as we like to call ourselves. And we are committed to you finding better ways to prioritize yourself, save time, and achieve your goals. So that's what we're all about. We're glad you're joining us here. Cheers. I'm still on my cup of coffee this morning, y'all.
I'm on
kefir.
water
I thought that
kefir.
was like a, oh, okay. Cause I was like, I thought that was a, like a yogurty kind of thing.
There is milk kefir, but this is water kefir that I made
no
with
idea.
Grains that I got from my Buy Nothing group, which we're going to talk about at some point today. Cause today's topic is making time for friendships and Buy
making
Nothing.
Time for friendships.
Yeah. And Buy Nothing
Sorry.
Is definitely has been a big part of my friendship journey, which we'll talk about in a second. As always, we open with a little bit of chit chat. So I've talked to Natasha a lot this week. There's a little bit of a echo. I don't know if you can hear it.
Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to figure out what's going on there. I think it's just.
While Natasha's dealing with that, we'll talk about what we've been chit chatting. Natasha and I saw a lot of each other this week because of just fun events that, you know, we have in each other's lives. Natasha and I, it's funny because Natasha and I met at church, but when we say church, it's like the least churchy church ever. We at Christmas time, we light a menorah. There are elves. We sing, you know, the stereotypical Christmas songs that were many of them written by Jewish composers. So it's all, you know, we do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
If it's positive,
our church honors other traditions.
Yes,
right
honors
so
other traditions.
Yeah, exactly.
So while I was raised in the Catholic tradition and I grew up sort of celebrating Easter, I don't come from my parents weren't particularly strict about us practicing the Catholic faith, and so we would go to church on Easter, but Christmas and Easter were kind of like the only times we went to church. You know, there's kind of this joke about CNE Catholics. We were very much CNE Catholics.
Oh, yeah. And we were not. And my dad had opinions about y'all's family. We were not CNEs. But also the neighborhood I grew up in, Palm Sunday was a big, big, big deal. Because then you got your palms and then you tied them up into like a cross.
Oh, wow.
And then you hung them from your rear view mirror. That was like thing in my neighborhood, in my, you know, where I grew up. And this way you kind of like advertise like, yeah, I'm Catholic. You know what I mean? But like, I mean, lines out the block to get the palms, you know, on Palm Sunday. And you know what, they might not have come on Easter though. You know, so my dad had a lot of opinions about that. We went to church every Sunday.
Well, we would, you know, we did like Ash Wednesday, so we would get the ashes because I went to Catholic school most of my childhood. So, you know, I know the stages of the cross. I know all the hymns.
Yeah.
So even though my dad only was CNE Catholic, I went to church a lot more than he did because it was built in to the cadence of my school. I mean,
we did
Stations of the Cross every single day for that period of time. And, you know, so
that's super Catholic.
I had a lot more of the practicing part of Catholicism than my father did. But anyway, all of that is to say that, the church I was raised in was very, I don't know what the correct pronunciation of the word is, because I feel like I hear two. So I was going to say dour, but you also hear dour. But maybe that's British-American versus English-American. Maybe that's British-English versus American-English.
Yeah, I was like, British-American? Okay.
those are all the Hollywood actors. They're British-Americans. No.
Right.
Dour. I feel like I hear dour sometimes, but I was just going to say dour. I grew up in a very dour church, very dark, very, you know, heavy architecture. And I just remember feeling like my God was a lot more fun. So anyway, all of that's to say that Natasha and I saw each other a lot this weekend because on Sunday we did go to church and there was a discussion of resurrection, although it was I love the way our minister put it. He was talking about how the point, in his opinion, the point of the crucifixion is to get to the part where it's the resurrection. And he's like, look, we all have little trials. We all have little crucifixions every day. The question is do you stay on the cross or do you decide that you're going to pick yourself back up and, you know, resurrect yourself? And, you know, there was a lot of talk about caterpillars and
goo and butterflies. Yeah. It's so funny because I, for years, like decades ago, I had a similar experience with you as you, not down in Catholicism. If that's your thing, like, great. It's just, it wound up not being my flavor of worship. But I remember being a kid and being like, the priest would be up there and we'd all be singing these hymns. And it'd be like, and the joy that we feel. And I'm like looking around, I'm like, where's the joy? Like, I don't get it. You know, like that was my experience. And then I remember sometime in my 20s, I was like, wait a second, why is everybody walking around with crosses on there? What we should have is like a little depiction of like a cave with a rolled back stone.
Right.
Isn't the main message the resurrection? Right. I'm like, why are we focused so much on the crucifixion and the, you know, the martyrism and not the resurrection, which I feel like is the good news, right? Is that, hey, you can go through these trials and tribulations, but you will be renewed. So anyway, that's my own little,
I want to add one thing, right? Growing up in Los Angeles, my church sort of had two personalities because they also hosted Spanish language masses. So my family went to the English language masses and but we would see the Spanish language masses either, you know, I was in the choir, so I would either see their choir rehearsing or something. Like, I would kind of stumble upon the bits of the Spanish language mass. And I was like, that mass looks like a lot more fun. Like, why is our mass so solemn and their mass looks so much more joyful? And then they had the whole Virgin. So, you know, very early in my Catholic experience, I was allowed to explore the fact that there are different ways to experience Catholicism. And even though I went to a Catholic high school, I went to a Catholic high school that taught world religions. And so I was always encouraged to explore. It was very much like no relationship with God is a bad relationship that I was raised in. So, you know, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, she's leaving the church. There was I didn't leave the church. I wasn't really, you know, there was nothing like that. So anyway.
Yes.
On to moms with friendships with moms, because I love this topic.
Me too. It's so timely. Because I have this almost exact conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. Go on.
Okay. Can't wait to hear.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it can be challenging to find ways to maintain your friendships. You know, I think all of us have the experience where we become really good friends with parents of our children's friends because
yes,
those are the people we're seeing either at drop off or pickup or play date, you know, for me at homeschooling park days, whatever the case may be. And that's great.
Totally.
But But the one drawback about having friends only through school is sometimes they don't live near you. Right? The children might reside far away and the school is the thing that brings them together, or the park day is the thing that brings them together. And so it can be hard to socialize with those people on a regular basis. And this is where the Buy Nothing group comes up for me.
Comes in. Yeah.
Yes. Because if you haven't heard us talk about Buy Nothing before, we're both members of our local Buy Nothing groups. And if you don't know what Buy Nothing is, it's something that was started about a little over a decade ago by two moms in Washington who were just kind of like, God, I have so much kid stuff. How can I share this abundance so it doesn't end up, you know, in the landfill or the trash or whatever? And so they started a neighborhood group. And the whole thing is that it's a quote unquote gifting economy. So the whole thing is that there's no transaction. It's not bartering. It's not any sort of keeping track. It's literally, hey, I have this candle to gift and it's only half full, but maybe someone will like it because it's not a scent I like. And hey, guess what? There's going to be someone who wants that candle likely if you have an active group. And someone will just say,
it's
like,
amazing.
I'd love that candle. And then you give them that candle and that's it. There's no like, you'll get me back next time. It's literally just gifting and asking. It, for instance, I could say, hey, I'd love a candle. I, you know, happy to use up any you don't have. Someone actually does. People regularly do this for coffee. Like, hey, you know all those coffee bags where you started it and you didn't really like it? I'm happy to take them. And this person gets deluged with bags.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome. I've got a few for her. Let me know.
But
it's amazing. The story that always gets me that you had told me about somebody was like, we got this huge birthday cake. We only ate like a quarter of it. Who wants birthday cake? And somebody came and took the rest of that birthday cake because that would have gone in the trash, right? Or, you know, maybe the compost bin. But even so, like some other family's like, that's a good birthday cake. I'll eat that. You know what I mean? It's absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that cake. Yeah, it's amazing. Your group is amazingly active. Mine's not as active. But I'm still so grateful every time somebody comes to take something that I probably would have given to Goodwill. And I don't know if you've, you know, like Goodwill is deluged with, use deluge again, with at least our local one, so much so that like they can't even keep up with it. And sometimes the stuff still winds up in a landfill,
in the trash,
you know? Right. Exactly. And so, yes, they sell it. And you know, some family will be able to get that pair of jeans or whatever for $2 instead of buying a new one. So that's great. Right. But this is, for me, this is even better because it's like, it's going directly to a family that I know is going to use it. They're going to me, that's really valuable.
Absolutely.
You know, I love it.
So how does that lead to friendships? Well, the way it leads to friendships is that gifts don't have to be physical things. So at some point someone said, hey, I'd love to do more hiking. So this is an ask of time, right? So they're saying, hey, I'm asking for a gift of time from someone who wants to join me hiking. And so out of that grew this group of us who like to hike. And so if you follow my personal Instagram, you see me doing a sunrise hike every Thursday. And all of those ladies, sometimes there's a gentleman or two, all of those people are friends from the Buy Nothing group. And then that same group, we sort of started saying like, oh, well, I also like to do tennis, or I like to do pottery, or, and so then we started to find other similarities once we started chit-chatting and finding other ways to spend time together. And so this is, I'm going to bring up one other thing that Natasha and I both love, which is the show Love on the Spectrum. If you haven't seen Love on the Spectrum, it's a fantastic show. It follows people looking for love who are on the autistic spectrum. We love this show because there are communication experts who train the people looking for love on how to interact. And honestly, all of us could use this. I could have used this.
I'm telling you, right? And like, and if you have like, if you have tweenagers or teenagers, it's such a great show because it really does model like excellent communication and being like, you know, really great listening skills. And like, it's just, it's fantastic. Honestly, I think it's fantastic. It's like really
being
instructive.
True to yourself, right? What are you really
being
looking
true
for?
To yourself? Yeah. Being really like honest about what you want, what you don't want, you know? And it's like, so honestly, I think it's such a great thing for, I think my kids have absolutely, especially my 10-year-old has been like, oh, you know, of course, then when there's kissing, he's like, oh, you know, he doesn't
want to
kiss him.
So there was one episode where the communication expert said, so what is the point of a first date? And I don't know if someone made a joke or something like the second date or something. But the communication expert was like, no, the point is to find things you have in common. And that's sort of the same thing with friends. So this friend group, we've kind of started, you know, having splintering into like, I like to do pottery. I like to do tennis. You know, I like to discover new places to have coffee. And we've invited in new people. And so the Buy Nothing group has really, because it's so local, it's a wonderful way for me to socialize with adults in a regular way that is easy. Because, you know, Natasha lives too far for me to get together with on a daily basis. Many of my closest friends actually live out of state. And so to find women and men that I have things in common with who are local has been such a blessing.
Yeah, it is amazing, honestly, that you and the conversation I had with my friend yesterday is somebody that I've used as an example in our workshops, and I might have talked about it here as well. She and I have this regular mani-pedi date that we do. We try to do it like once every 6 to 8 weeks. It doesn't sound like a lot, but man, honestly, months and months and months could go by because, you know, she lives 20 minutes away too. It's not, and that doesn't sound like a long drive. It isn't. But when you talk about like, we have very different schedules and that kind of thing. So it's hard, right? To kind of nail down a time. So we finally fine tuned it. We tried to do it. We was like, oh, we'll do it every month. Okay. That's okay. Every 2 months. And we were like not getting it done. And maybe we did it once or twice a year, right? Mm-hmm. Until we figured out our formula, which is not only putting it in each other's calendars, but also making the appointment before we left the nail place for the next time. Okay. So that works really well for us, right? So with this same friend, because of a scheduling conflict, whatever, we had to cancel our nail appointment yesterday, but we still got together for coffee, right? Because I was like, I still want to see you, girl. Cause like, that's the main point. The main point isn't necessarily our nails. Like, right. You know, we're like, whatever, we can paint our own nails. That's just a little extra self-care. But one of the things we talked about is that being now in this area of like, we're not doing preschools. We're not doing as many, you know, our kids are in middle school, the older ones, we're not doing those, you know, drop off pickups where you kind of like socialize with people. And maybe if you have time, you get coffee after or something like that, you know, where you have like this kind of, and it revolves around your kids and their school. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden she's like, you know, I find like, even though I have friends, she's like, I don't have a lot of opportunities to get together with people on the regular. Right. So, and she's, Allegra and I are both in this soccer team, which I absolutely love. That for me, it's a great way to socialize with other women my age, like-minded. We like to play sports, blah, blah, blah. You know, because of an injury, I didn't play as much this season. But I love that, right? And this friend of mine has some physical limitations. So I was just like, she's not going to join soccer. She's right, not a hiker. Right. You know what I mean? Like, so we were just talking about what are some other ways that we can kind of at least kind of try to establish some type of regular kind of socializing, right? She and I have that going on, but she's like, you're kind of like the only person I see outside of my family, you know, aside from like some neighbors and stuff like that occasionally. So, and I suggested some other things too, because I really want to start playing badminton too, which I will get to, but she's, again, not a sports person, right? So it reminded me of something that I had started in my late 20s. they called this thing the bitches brunch. And because as a way to like claim back the word bitch, also the woman I live next door to, she was a Russian girl who would be like, bitch, you got to get your tea. Like, I know she'd call me bitch, but like the first time she called me, I was like, excuse me, you know, but she really kind of used it more in a way, like a lot more of like, hey girl, you know what I mean? Kind of way.
Right.
And I was like, this is funny. And then it was really a term of endearment. And I was like, that's interesting. A lot of people at first balked at the name of it, but it really just was born out of, I had a friend visiting from New York. I was like, girl, you got to meet all of my LA friends. They'll love you. You'll love them. And I had a brunch and it was so much fun. And we all got together to like, just at my house. Like it was just a potluck brunch. It wasn't anything fancy. Right. But I was like, we should do this again next month. Right. And so it became a thing where it was born out of that and it just became a thing. And then other people started hosting it. It became huge. I mean, people I didn't even know started hosting it all over the city, all over the West Side, the Valley, like downtown, all over. And it became like a thing. Was just, this is back when like we had like Yahoo groups or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, how mm-hmm. we ever communicate. I don't remember back in the day. Anyway, so it became a thing where the community just took it over and it just became a lot of fun. And the only requirement was bring something to share, whether it's a piece of poetry you want to read, a song, maybe you want to give hand massages or a dish or whatever. Just be, it's kind of like a gifting economy, like right. come and just bring something to share, whether it's something, some of your art or just a story or whatever, or yeah, a casserole. I don't know, you know, so that was like the only real requirement. And the different hosts would just, you know, put it on. And it was one of those things where people just, the right amount of people showed up, the right, you know, that kind of thing where like, you know, last month it was 40 women. I don't know if I have enough room. Oh, this month it was only 20, you know, that right, kind of thing. Right. Right. So I was talking to my friend Meredith, who had been there from the Genesis. She was at the original brunch. And she's like, yes, we got to do something like that again. So I bring this up because we're probably going to start some older lady version of this. And by the way, we had women of all ages in the brunch, by the way. It's just that I was in my late 20s when I started it. And now I'm in my late 40s and it's time to resurrect the brunch somehow. And so just throwing out, there's lots of different ways to create community. And mm-hmm. when you create the community tells you what it needs, right? Like the example that Allegra gave, like, hey, yes, I'm taking a birthday cake from you or I'm getting a candle from you, but wait a second. What about getting together? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I really like hiking. What about pottery? What about the, you know, like, and so the community takes it over, right? The community pulls forth what it needs from you or what it needs from itself, I suppose. And that there's community in unlikely places, I think too, you know? I think the only real requirement is like showing up.
Yeah, I mean,
and being in communication.
And like another example, I used to be a group of friends and we all like doing crafts. And so once a month, one of us would host all the others and do the craft of that person's choice. So sometimes we'd be making candles. Sometimes we'd be pressing flowers. One time we tiled someone's kitchen floor as our craft. You know, it was kind of like
that sounds so fun.
Yeah, it was kind of like a fun barn raising.
That sounds super fun to me.
So yes, whatever the thing is that you like, if it's being active, if it's doing crafts, if it's gardening, whatever the thing is, there are people. And nowadays with the internet, it's so much easier to find local, you know, between meetup or buy nothing groups or mm-hmm. neighborhood right. groups. People, by definition, humans are social. So
that's
even if you're not super social, you need some connections, and maybe like me, some of your oldest friends no longer live in the area. Go out and find ways to, like Love on the Spectrum says, it's all about just finding people who have similar interests to you. So, mm-hmm. you know, like I, as you've probably heard me talk, I do stand-up comedy, but I love watching stand-up comedy. And so I have a couple of friends that I started a chat with called the Ha Ha. It's also related to Buy Nothing, because I said to them, you know, sometimes I go to comedy shows by myself because my partner can't always go with me. And so I'll just let them know, like, hey, I'm going. Do you want to come? Because it's always last minute. So they have to be near me so that they can go. Mm-hmm. And so it's the, you know, the Buy Nothing Ha Ha comedy chat. And, you know, I was like, hey, I get to share the drive. I get to share the cost of gas. And I have someone who, you know, is going to laugh with me. And so that's been
right.
Great.
That's super fun. Yeah. I mean, like, I think book clubs fill this mm-hmm. Void a lot, you know.
Yes.
You do have to do homework. You have to read, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I love books.
See, I used to belong to
a book club. I've never done a book club thing, but it's been a real big social thing for my mom, like where, you know, she's in her 80s, you know, and her book club friends she has a great time with them.
Yeah. So I've done a couple and they were kind of fun, but I often ended up doing separate reading on my own because I didn't always like the book that was chosen. But my mother-in-law swears by her book club. And it's also been great for her because it introduces her to authors she never would have picked, which is a really fun thing. And mm-hmm. there was a period when a lot of us had young kids. And so we called ourselves the audiovisual club, because sometimes we'd watch a movie instead of
Yeah.
Reading a book. And
yeah. And then discuss that. Sure.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Discuss that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's lots of ways to socialize. And also I'm a huge fan of community. If you've ever read any Simon Sinek, then you know that he describes a leader as the person, the leader is not the person at the top of the hierarchy. His definition of a leader is the person who's looking out for the person to their left and to the right. And I like to think of that in terms of your neighborhood too. Like if all of us looked out for our neighbors to the left and to the right, then everyone would be looked out for twice, mm-hmm. actually. Everyone would be looked out for.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And so I've always been really active in helping to organize my neighborhood. And I've kind of passed the baton to a younger guy in our neighborhood who wants to do even more. But it's so much easier to tell someone, hey, you were driving a little fast on the street, or hey, could you trim your tree back a little bit more, when you've taken the time to already get to know them. Because in a sense, mm-hmm. like, oh, it's someone I like is asking me to do this, versus like that nameless, yeah. faceless person that lives around the corner that never talks to me except when they want to tell me how to do something. It makes
I like
a huge
strangeless.
Difference. Yeah. Nameless strangeless.
I like strangeless. 100%, right? Community is really important. Absolutely. Yeah. So there's lots of different ways to access it if you can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, just make time for it. Natasha and I always say, we don't want to should on you. And because, you know, society and everyone shoulds on us all the time. Mm-hmm. However, the one caveat is taking care of your health. And because humans are social beings, I would include friendships as part of that mental, spiritual wellness.
Absolutely. Yeah. And maybe you're somebody who's not like into big groups and stuff. It doesn't have to be that, of course. Like, you
no,
know,
not at all.
Take a page from just having a regular hike date with one person. I have this regular manicure, pedicure date with a friend, you know, and just make it something that you put into existence. The regular part is kind of key, right?
Yes.
Especially in this like super fast paced world where, you know, literally months could go by without seeing somebody that you want to hang out with, you know, and you're just like, you know, it's a lot of missed time.
Well, and that's the nice thing about the hike is it's every Thursday morning, whoever can show up can show up. There are maybe, I don't know, 12 of us on this chat. And so sometimes there's just two of us, sometimes there's six of us. And so it's kind of automated, if you will. You don't have to like plan it every single time. And Natasha and her friend that she mani-pedis with, they always set their next appointment the day of the one that they're leaving, right? It's like,
right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to cancel like yesterday, right? But at least it exists and it keeps us more accountable because we put it in the book right there at the salon, you know, and I have to call and cancel or reschedule it or whatever. But usually we make that because it's important we get a chance to hang out with each other and we like it. We want to hang out with each other.
Yeah. And if a meal or a mani-pedi or something, like maybe you could even ask the salon, like, hey, every third Friday of the month, can we blah, 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 blah. And then it's kind of a little more automated, you know, for these are just tips we're throwing out. And then for the people who are out of town, because I do want to keep up those relationships, I write into every Sunday night, I have a list of people that I like to call kind of on rotation, and I will write one of their names into my calendar for that week to make sure I have a phone conversation with. It's not really my girlfriends because those are super easy to keep up. We're just chatting all the time, but it's kind of like family members that I don't see a lot, but I still want to know what's going on with them. So it's usually family members that get put into that slot who I haven't talked to maybe for a few months. And it's like, oh, need to call so-and-so. And so that's how I help keep those relationships going, which are also super important because it's a lot easier
again,
talking about
months will go by.
Yeah. And also too, we're all getting to that age where we're having to provide care for our elders. And it's so much easier talking about those things with them when we have an existing personal relationship.
Right.
Rather than just like,
so
what
just
are we
like
going to
come
do
out of
about
blue.
Grandma? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Important. These are important things. Maintaining your relationships is part of your self-care. And hopefully we gave you some ideas to bolster your relationships and your communities.
Yeah. So pick one and try it out. You know, take what you like, leave the rest. And then, you know, once one is working for you, maybe you try another tip. You know, we like small changes. We're all about teeny tiny changes.
Thanks for joining us for the Harness the Power of Planning podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen.